Books v. Elkhart County. Mr. Stanley.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Eric Stanley and I represent the appellant Elkhart County, Indiana. This case involves a challenge to a historical documents display of 11 historical documents and symbols located in the Elkhart County Administration Building. Elkhart County has appealed from the district court's grant of summary judgment to the plaintiff, and Elkhart County respectfully requests that this court reverse the grant of summary judgment and direct the district court to enter summary judgment in favor of Elkhart County. There are two reasons why the district court should be reversed that I would like to highlight this morning. And the first reason is that Elkhart County has a secular purpose for the historical documents display in the administration building. The second reason is that a reasonable observer viewing this display would not perceive a governmental endorsement of religion.
Now, what happens to the anterior issue, which is whether there's an Article III case or controversy?
The standing issue.
Yeah, well, we need to discuss first whether it's appropriate to reach the merits at all.
Yes, Your Honor, and I agree with that. And I do think that the standing is an issue in this case. I do approach this argument with the understanding that this court has decided in Books versus City of Elkhart and then also in ICLU versus O'Bannon on the standing issue. However, as we've stated in our
brief, was the same standing issue?
I believe that in this case, it's very similar. However, I think that there is a distinction in this case from what happened in maybe Books versus City of Elkhart and O'Bannon, in that the plaintiff in this case, I think if you look at the Supreme Court's decisions very carefully, the plaintiff in this case really is only alleging a mere psychological injury by viewing something that he disagrees with.
Yeah, one might think that that was important, because I thought we have said that the identifiable trifle that leads to standing in many of these cases is the assertion that with the religious display in place X, I will avoid place X. And it doesn't seem that such an assertion has been made in this case.
That is correct. There is a supplemental affidavit that was filed by the plaintiff in this case stating that he goes to the Elkhart County Administration Building several times. However, I don't believe that there is any assertion in the record that he wants to avoid the Elkhart County Administration Building, and I think that that fact
now,
is
in
important.
In the Supreme Court cases, the two that have been granted, Van Orden and McCreary County, is a standing issue before the Supreme Court in either of those two cases?
No, it is not. Your Honor, my firm is counsel on the McCreary case that has been granted cert to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The issues before that court are somewhat similar in that they involve the constitutionality.
Well, McCreary looks like the same substantive case, but I just want to pursue. And what was the basis of standing in McCreary?
The basis of standing in McCreary was similar to this case in that the plaintiff went to the courthouses. The executive bodies in McCreary County are called fiscal courts in Kentucky, and they meet in these particular courthouses,
mm-hmm.
kind of like the Elkhart County administration does. And so the plaintiffs were alleging in those cases that they were coming into unavoidable, unwelcome contact with the displays in those counties. And the district court and the Sixth Circuit held that that was standing. In this case, I do.
Well, then maybe there is a standing issue. If standing is raised, the ACLU obviously isn't going to complain about that in its cert petition in McCreary, but lack of standing may be a ground raised by the respondent. And indeed, it sounds like something the justices might want to decide whether the parties raise it or not in McCreary. So maybe it is. You know, the reason I'm pursuing this is that we need to figure out how to proceed. I mean, the merits of cases like this are going to be resolved in McCreary County. It's not clear that we get any, if there's any reason why we should try to beat the clock. But if there's a standing issue here that is not before the Supreme Court in McCreary County, maybe a good reason for us to proceed and resolve it. So we we need to make an intelligent decision about what to do, independent of our outcome on the merits and on standing.
And I agree with that, Your Honor, because I do think that the McCreary case does present an instance where the Supreme Court will issue a decision on the merits of that case that will directly impact the merits of this case. In McCreary, I think that the issue in that case, and maybe why the Supreme Court has not talked about standing, although they can bring it up at any time, since it is a jurisdictional issue, is that the McCreary actually involved an appeal to the Sixth Circuit from a grant of a preliminary injunction to the plaintiff, and then a petition for cert to there from that decision. And so, for all intents and purposes, even though that case has been going on for some time, it is still in its infancy with regard to the merits. I do believe the standing issue.
Let me go back. McCreary County is the petitioner in that case, isn't
it? That is correct.
And its petition is not raised standing.
That is correct. Although,
I guess that reduces the chance the Supreme Court will hear it, so they can still hear it sua sponte. Okay.
They could hear it sua sponte.
I think I know now what the posture is. So.
Right.
Thanks.
I will say that McCreary, I think, is very important, and the decision in McCreary will be, even to the extent the Supreme Court has granted cert on the question whether Lemon should be overruled and a new test should be instituted. And so I do think that that case will bear significantly on this case. However, Lemon is still the law, and this circuit's cases, I do think, still control until the Supreme Court says otherwise. And so with regard to the first prong of Lemon, the secular purpose prong, I think that the record is very clear in this case that Elkhart County does have a secular purpose for the display in the administration building. And I just want to highlight it, that it is very important to go back to the Supreme Court cases on purpose and to remember the standard for the purpose prong, that the Supreme Court has been very clear that a governmental action may only be invalidated if it is entirely motivated by a religious purpose. The Supreme Court even went so far as in Wallace to state that even if the government had in part a religious purpose, that the challenged action would still survive. All that is required is that there is...
Maybe I'm just out of sorts with Lemon, but I don't even know what it means to say the government has some purpose. The government isn't a person. It doesn't have a head, right? There are hundreds of people running around who contribute to decisions like these, and they may have all sorts of things in their heads. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Ask if any one of them had exclusively something in his head and hold that it would actually be a defense to show that he had a combination of religious intent and, say, money-raising goals?
Your Honor, I think that it actually may go back to what Lord Bismarck said, the making of a law is like making of sausage. You want to avert your eyes. You know, how can you determine what the purpose is? I'm paraphrasing.
English. No man should see how laws or sausages are made.
Very well said. And I think that the same is true in this case, and I believe that Justice Scalia's dissents a lot in the Supreme Court point out that issue. And as a matter of fact, that's going to be an issue that we will be raising in McCreary, is the purpose prong of Lemon is unworkable, that it should be done away with. How are you going to decide the issue of when a government has a particular purpose? To illustrate that point, one of the cases we cited in our brief, ACLU versus Rutherford County, Tennessee. In that particular instance, you have a governmental body of 26 county commissioners. Now, how is a court supposed to sit and determine and discern what the purpose is, a single purpose or even maybe multiple purposes, and then determine whether that is secular or religious? Now, courts have done that. This court has done that in Books and O'Bannon. And I think that Lemon probably requires to some extent that the court does discern whether there is a secular purpose in the display. But I think that the important point to remember is that it only has to be a secular purpose. So to the extent that there are multiple purposes that can be discerned from the record, which I think that there are here, we've identified three of them on page 16 of our brief, to the extent that one or more of those purposes are secular, I think that this court is mandated to hold that the purpose prong of Lemon is satisfied. Lemon, the purpose prong, establishes a very low threshold for the government to get over, I think because of the idea that purpose is very difficult to discern. And how is the court supposed to look behind the intent There may be all kinds of deal swapping or these kinds of things. And as a matter of fact, in some of the Supreme Court cases, the court has even stated that too close of a look at purpose would merely encourage the government to just go to greater lengths, maybe to hide a purpose, if there was a religious purpose in a display. Now, that's not what is occurring here. We believe that Elkhart County has articulated a secular purpose in the resolution that they passed on March 17th of 2003. And again, those are listed on page 16 of our brief. I think the district court's error on the purpose prong was focusing on the moral character language in the resolution. And I think that was error, because what the district court did, if you read the opinion, is they focus on the moral character aspect of the resolution, and they view that language in isolation just with the Ten Commandments. And then the district court moves to a determination of whether there is a historical link between the documents on the display, and they look at the entire context of the display. In the first instance, with regard to the moral character aspect of the resolution itself, I think that the district court erred in looking at that only in terms of the Ten Commandments and only requiring the government to justify why the Ten Commandments were included, why the Ten Commandments contribute to the moral character of the citizens of the county, and viewing that in isolation. That, I will say, directly goes against this court's admonitions in Books and O'Bannon, that the district court view the entire context and content and the totality of the display. I'll point out, morality is not an exclusively religious concept. And we state in our specifically in our reply brief, pages 7 through 9, that when you're talking about moral character, that can be determined to be more than just religious. And in fact, there is not one place in the record of this case where the language moral character was determined to be religious in nature. It's not religious on its face, and it's not religious in effect when you're viewing the entire totality of the display. Commissioner McCloskey was questioned about this extensively in his deposition, which is in our appendix, tab 3. And if you look at his opinion, or at his deposition specifically, pages 22 and 47, what he stated moral character means was where our laws came from and where they are based upon. That was his definition of moral character, and he was the designate for Elkhart County in this case to speak on behalf of the county. Understanding that there is a foundation to our present laws, I think, instills a moral character in citizens of understanding the rationale and evolution of the laws, and maybe even a greater desire to obey the laws. Elkhart County is not saying that all of the present laws of the country come from the Ten Commandments, or that even all of the Ten Commandments are present laws in the country. They all were at some point in our colonial history, which we pointed out in our initial brief. But that is not the case with regard to the present time. You cannot say that the first four of the commandments are laws today, any more than Elkhart County can say that all of the Magna Carta remains laws today. The Magna Carta has laws stating that...
Indiana never had an established church, did it?
I don't believe Indiana did, Your Honor.
Right, so one to four were never law in Indiana at any time.
That's correct. That's correct. Even though they were in our colonial history. And if our initial brief points out that 12 of the 13 colonies adopted every single one of the Ten Commandments at law at some point. And we trace through each of the commandments in our brief and how those commandments relate even to specific laws today. For instance, the keeping the Sabbath day holy is in the Constitution. The president is allowed 7 days to sign a bill, Sunday's accepted. And the courts have been very candid in tracing that back to the fourth commandment of keeping the Sabbath day holy. The point is that Elkhart County is not saying that all of
when blue laws came before the Supreme Court, they were sustained, but not on the ground that the Sabbath day was holy.
Absolutely. And I think that that's correct. However, I don't believe that that changes the fact that the courts have been very candid in tracing all of our laws, or many of our laws, back to specific instances of the Ten Commandments. Elkhart County, again, as I said, is not stating that this case, the Ten Commandments, are that the Ten Commandments are present laws today any more than the Magna Carta is. But I think it illustrates the fact of foundations and where this case comes from, and that there is a secular purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Mr. Fall.
May it please the court. As far as standing is concerned, this court noted in the first Books case and in Doe versus County of Montgomery that actual injury for purposes of standing is established when the plaintiff alleges that he or she is forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact exposure to a religious display in the course of his or her life in the community. And Mr. Books alleged this in his original complaint, and when the issue was raised, sua sponte by the trial court judge, he submitted a supplemental affidavit to explain exactly how this occurred. So under this court's prior precedent, he certainly has standing.
And how is that position consistent with Valley Forge?
In Valley Forge, Your Honor, the Supreme Court held that injury must be more than mere psychological injury, but
yeah.
It said it in the context
but that's,
of...
That's the claim. I come into unwelcome contact with this,
no.
And I suffer mentally.
No, Your Honor.
That sounds like the same claim made in Valley Forge, which was I learned what the government had done, and I suffered mentally.
Now, in Valley Forge, you dealt with plaintiffs who never physically stepped foot in Pennsylvania, let alone was forced to come into contact with the monument. And as this court has held, as other circuits have held, if you are forced to physically confront the unwelcome display and forced to choose to not see it, to walk around it, or not go to the county building, that is, in effect, and that is injury. The Supreme Court itself, in the cases that dealt with children exposed to school prayer, and in other cases, recognize that being forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact with an unwelcome practice gives you...
No, that wasn't the theory in this
requisite injury.
Cases. The theory was that the children were being coerced. There's never been a holding in the Supreme Court, so far as I know, that being in unwelcome contact with something you don't like is standing. What would be your best Supreme Court case for that proposition?
I would... This court in County of Montgomery cited a number of Supreme Court cases where standing was not admittedly specifically raised by the Supreme Court, but where it surmised that injury occurred because of being forced to come into contact, I believe, Your Honor. But certainly this court in the first Books case and in County of Montgomery specifically held that standing exists when you have this situation of being forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact. As far as secular purpose is concerned, the problem here, from the county's point of view, is that it is seeking to ignore the holdings in Stone, the first Books case, and ICLU versus O'Bannon, and a host of other cases, that the Ten Commandments is first and foremost a religious document. As the Supreme Court noted in Stone, it is an undeniably sacred text. Given that clear religiosity, the burden falls upon the defendant to show a secular purpose. And this is not a purpose in the sense of this is what I'm thinking when I do it. This is a purpose that can be demonstrated from the context and content of the display. It simply is not enough, as the Supreme Court held in Stone, as this court held in Books and O'Bannon, to say we have a secular purpose in our heart of hearts, or even to put down on a piece of paper, as the state of Kentucky did in Stone, our secular purpose is because the Ten Commandments is a foundational document for Western civilization and American common law. No, that's not enough. You have to actually show it, because the Ten Commandments is a holy document. So we have to look at the context and the content, which is what the district court did.
But don't we have a somewhat different context than we had in Books 1 and O'Bannon?
Yes, Your Honor, we do. We have a bigger display, which might make a difference when it comes to endorsement, as the district court found, although I would disagree with the ultimate conclusion there. But from the standpoint of purpose, it does not, because we have to look at what Elkhart's purpose is. Number one, to instill desirable qualities and assist with development of moral character. Number two, because this is a historical document that has a direct impact on the Declaration.
You're getting pretty close to a per se rule, then, aren't you, about the defendant?
Not at all, Your Honor. To instill desirable qualities and contribute to the moral character. As this court noted in O'Bannon in the first Books case, if you hold up the Ten Commandments as a desirable code to live by, no matter what you call it, you can call it moral, you can call it what, you are holding up a religious code. That is a religious purpose, not a secular purpose. So the second purpose we have to look at is Elkhart's claim that the Ten Commandments has a direct linkage to the Declaration of Independence and American law. And the problem with that is not the argument as to whether it really does or not, because that's a historical argument and it's not for this court or any court perhaps to decide, because it's a question of historical debate. The question, though, is does the context and content bear out this historical purpose? And the problem with that, Your Honor, is there's absolutely nothing in this display, other than Elkhart saying it, that links the Ten Commandments with the Declaration of Independence. In fact, Commissioner McCloskey, when asked in a deposition, he not only approved this, he's a law student, he studied it, he couldn't tell us what the linkage is. If you look at the Declaration of Independence and you look at the Ten Commandments, there is no linkage. All we have is Elkhart saying that this is an historical document.
Why does there have to be a linkage?
Because without the linkage, Your Honor, you have a fundamentally holy document being placed into a display by government.
Why is it not permissible for the government to display a variety of depictions of the sources of our government and our law, civil and otherwise?
Of course.
And symbols of our legal system.
Yes, of course. The government can do that, but this context and content of the display has to illustrate that purpose. And the problem here, as the district court found, as a number of courts have found, is that it simply doesn't. What you have here is the bald statement of, here is history, here is the Ten Commandments, they're connected, go figure it out.
If this display appeared on a public museum wall, would it be acceptable?
In a museum context, if there were other parts of the display that demonstrated...
No, just as it is, in a museum, publicly operated museum.
I think it would still be problematic. It might not be as problematic from an endorsement perspective, because a reasonable observer would not see this at the seat of governmental power in Elkhart County. But you would still have the problem of the fact that it's not apparent at all what the historical context is, other than Elkhart County saying it.
What if we were in a classroom in an elementary school and the students were given the assignment of posting on the bulletin board sources of American law and the inspirations for the American system of government?
Mm-hmm.
And among those items that was displayed were all of these that are in this display. Would that be acceptable?
Probably not, Your Honor, because I don't think this demonstrates the sources of American law. American law did not go from the Ten Commandments to the Magna Carta to the Declaration of Independence. And if that is, in fact, the purpose, and that is a valid secular purpose articulated as such.
But you just argued a few minutes ago that we shouldn't go behind the historical linkage that the government is trying to make. We shouldn't evaluate that.
No, we should not evaluate the basic claim, Your Honor, but we have to demand of government that the display they produce actually demonstrates through context and content that there is a valid historical purpose. And it's not enough for government just to put some documents together and say, here's history, when there's absolutely no connection. I mean, look at what Elkhart has said in its statements introducing the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have profoundly influenced the formation of Western legal thought and the formation of our country. That is certainly paraphrases what the Supreme Court rejected in Stone as not demonstrating a valid secular purpose. This influence is clearly seen in the Declaration of Independence, which declared that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, there's absolutely no connection between the Ten Commandments and that very important phrase from our American civil law. It's not enough.
It's not clear why, in your view, the Declaration of Independence could be posted, or for that matter, the Constitution of the United States.
No,
which ends by declaring that it is adopted in the city of Philadelphia in the year of our Lord so-and-so.
No, Your Honor, that is absolutely not what we're saying. The Ten Commandments are first and foremost a holy document. And when you insert that holy document into a secular display, that display has to evince through context and content.
Well, you keep saying that. My question is, what does that have to do with the Constitution? The Constitution says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And the equation of any holy document to an establishment of religion, certainly not historically accurate. Maryland had established a religion. I understand what that is.
Yes.
Posting a document with religious significance is, one might think, as a matter of normal usage at the time of the Constitution, just a completely different animal altogether. Why isn't it an establishment?
Well, Your Honor, again, the Supreme Court has two Ten Commandments cases before right now, and they certainly are free.
No.
to rewrite existing establishment law, establishment clause law. However, at the current time, this court's decision in Books, this court's decision in O'Bannon, many other circuit courts, and the Supreme Court cases itself says we are to try and figure out purpose by looking at context and content, and we are to view.
If you want to answer my question, that's fine. I mean, I'm asking a serious question about why is it an establishment if all you want to say in response is we've made the same mistake before, please do it again. But it's not an intellectually satisfactory answer, I think you'll see.
I think it's an establishment, Your Honor, because of the religiosity of the Ten Commandments, Elkhart is...
Why is that within the understanding of the word establishment? Right? It's a real word in the Constitution. It's not plastic or silly putty or something else.
And, Your Honor, I guess I cannot answer you other than to say that given existing case law, we are to look at more than whether it establishes religion. Yes, it does not establish Judaism or Christianity as the established religion of Elkhart County, although it does endorse the Ten Commandments as something that citizens of Elkhart County should cherish, which, of course, leads to the fact that it represents an endorsement of religion, regardless of
purpose. I don't understand that either. You post the Magna Carta, you don't endorse a monarchical system.
No, but you are telling the citizens of Elkhart County that here are documents that
It's an interesting document, right?
No, but you're not saying...
If when you post the Magna Carta, you are not endorsing the English system of government...
That's correct.
...in the 12th century, and everybody agrees with that...
That's correct, Your Honor.
Why is posting the Ten Commandments the same as endorsing the Ten Commandments?
Because by posting this fundamentally holy text, Elkhart is saying to its citizens, as it says explicitly in the resolution,
I'm asking a particular question. Why is the Ten Commandments different from the Magna Carta? Both the Magna Carta and the Ten Commandments are rough. You don't believe that the Magna Carta is being endorsed.
That's
why
correct.
Would one believe that the Ten Commandments is being endorsed?
Because a reasonable observer would see this as a fundamentally important religious document, not like the Magna Carta. A reasonable observer would know that what the Ten Commandments is and understand that Elkhart has taken a position. Yes, Your Honor.
Looking at the exhibit, which shows the display of the framed documents surrounded by the two flags of the state and the nation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Does it matter at all? That's why I guess I referenced the context of our other two cases to you, that it has no greater prominence. I mean, all the frames obviously are the same size and are dwarfed, if you will, by the flags in attention. I guess they're sandwiched by the flags. Are we approaching, reaching in your pocket and taking out the coinage? Do we have that kind of a dilution of emphasis? To the extent that there is a non-secular purpose that was...
I don't think so from an endorsement standpoint, because you have this one holy document nestled among some of America's most cherished political documents, and you are sending an unmistakable message that Elkhart has linked religion and civil law, and that's the exact same message that this court was found to be unconstitutional in ICLU versus O'Bannon. And therefore, we'd argue this represents an endorsement as well.
You would say, though, that we had a prominence factor.
Yes, Your Honor.
In O'Bannon and
that's
obviously
correct.
In Books, one that we don't have here, which I, at least it seems to me, to have some relevance in this difficult area.
Of course, Your Honor. But in O'Bannon, the court noted even if someone was to look at everything together, the Ten Commandments, the preamble of the Indiana Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, they would not see anything but this linkage of religion with civil law. And that is the source of the endorsement conclusion, Your Honor. And the same conclusion should occur here.
If there really is no trend line on size or prominence or how one approaches the object, then can the case be made at all for it to the Ten Commandments along the lines of my sister's questions about it ever having any existence in the public square?
Certainly. If in fact it's put in with religions from other cultures, if it's put in with lawgivers.
Maybe this month's emphasis on the various faiths that have had
of course
acceptance in American history. So in sort of that kind of context,
of course, of
but
course,
it could not be associated with non-religious, if you will, documents, because as soon as it's associated with non-religious documents, then it gets more emphasis.
No, if I could answer, Your Honor.
Of course.
If it's the lawgiver's display, which is on the ceiling of the Supreme Court, if it's in a display which emphasizes that it is one of many documents influencing law in general, but to make the connection, as Elkhart has done or tried to do, that this law has a direct lineage with the Declaration of Independence, when that doesn't appear from the display at all, lacks a valid secular purpose. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Falk. Mr. Stanley?
Thank you. The Supreme Court's display of the frieze with Moses as the great lawgiver is not the only way that the Ten Commandments may be displayed, and I think that that is a precise reason why the district court erred in this case. The idea of a link requiring a historical or analytical link between the documents on the display comes directly from McCreary County, the case in the Sixth Circuit, and so I think that that idea is somewhat suspect given the Supreme Court's grant of cert in McCreary. However, the district court erred by taking sides in a historical debate. There is historical evidence that the Ten Commandments are linked with the other documents on display. All
so
Elkhart County.
Would it be your position that if we had the two flags and just Lady Justice and the Ten Commandments were okay?
No, I think that that might be a different situation. I think that you may be looking at a matter of degree the way the test is framed as it is now. Mm-hmm. However, I do think this case is not Stone revisited, this case is not Books 1, and it's not O'Bannon. There are significant differences between those cases and this case, and I think that's why there is a secular purpose here.
Thank you, Stanley. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will proceed to the third case of the day, BELT versus First Union National Bank.